People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
The news could have been a lot worse for affordable housing in the Obama administration's proposed FY 2011 budget. That's not to say that anyone is setting off fireworks, but priorities outlined in the proposal do support HUD's key goals, including strengthening the housing market, meeting affordable rental housing needs, improving quality of life, continuing the Choice Neighborhoods Initiative, and really transforming the way that HUD does business. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast. Today's guest is Paul Weech, Senior Vice President for Policy at the Housing Partnership Network and stewards of affordable housing as well. Paul is a federal housing policy advocate with more than 25 years of experience in housing and financial services. He was a consultant for Innovative Housing Strategies, served as VP for Mission Strategy and Execution at Fannie Mae, Chief of Staff at the Small Business Administration, and Staff Director for the Subcommittee on Housing and Community Development for the Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs. All of that means, among other things, that he understands the HUD budget process and can help decipher for us what the new budget has in store for affordable housing advocates and as well nonprofit developers like Eden Housing. Is that fair enough, Paul?
Joanne, thank you very much. I think you're being overly generous with my background, but I look forward to the conversation today.
Well, we welcome you to the podcast. When it comes to budgets, the news is never all good, right?
That's right.
And particularly in a challenging economy. So let's start out with the positive developments and then temper our joy a little bit with the negatives after that. How's that?
Joanne, that seems fair enough. The best news in this HUD's budget is that the agency fared relatively well compared to other domestic discretionary agencies. While the amount of new money is not dramatic, HUD was able to garner almost $1.3 billion in new discretionary budget authority in total. Plus, the administration continues to support another $1 billion for the National Affordable Housing Trust Fund, which is not included in that total. So the good news is that HUD was able to fully fund the renewal of all the housing vouchers that it gets, of the project-based rental assistance. It provides some new money for homeless assistance grants, as well as for some of the new signature programs that you alluded to in your introduction.
And the bad news?
Well, the biggest bad news are cuts to some very important affordable housing programs. For the community that you and I are working with, the affordable housing development community, the cuts in the home program and the cuts in the Section 202 elderly housing program and the Section 811 housing for people with disabilities program are probably the most troubling. You know, these come at a time when the other most important development program, the low-income housing tax credit program, is in some distress, and investments in that program are down. Taking away money for these important capital programs is troubling.
So when it comes to production, though, that low-income housing tax program is really key. The stimulus package increased funding for that program. Is that support continued in this new budget?
Well, one of the good features of the president's budget is that the budget does call for an extension of the low-income housing tax credit exchange program. But what's important to remember about the exchange program is that it's a stopgap measure to support the low-income housing tax credit program during a time when private investors have moved to the sidelines somewhat. Our best estimates are that the investment in the low-income housing tax credit program is down almost 40% to 50% from its highest levels a couple years ago. And the tax credit exchange program that the administration is supporting is key to keeping the pipelines of affordable housing development going. What was disappointing is that there's a large coalition of affordable housing developers who have come together around a package of consensus policy provisions that would extend this exchange program to 4% tax credit deals, but also make other improvements to increase investor interest in the program, both in the near term and in the distant future. And the administration has not embraced these proposals, though we continue to work strongly with Congress to get them done.
So overall, HUD is only proposing a few new programs. I mentioned the Choice Neighborhoods program earlier. Can you tell us exactly what this program is designed to do?
Well, the Choice Neighborhoods program is basically one of the newest iterations of a long HUD tradition of place-based programs. HUD officials will describe the Choice Neighborhoods program as a new and improved version of the HOPE 6 program that HUD has used successfully over the many of the previous years to revitalize distressed public housing communities. Under Choice Neighborhoods, HUD's going to not only continue to revitalize distressed public housing neighborhoods, but also expand that to include distressed, privately owned multifamily housing developments. The whole goal of the program, though, is not just to revitalize these distressed properties, but to deconcentrate the poverty that resides there and create new, vibrant, mixed-income communities. Moreover, the greatest ambitions for Choice Neighborhoods, for HUD, and for those of us in the community development business are a comprehensive approach to community development, where we would use this revitalization of the affordable housing to also revitalize neighborhoods and break down silos between the different federal agencies that are important to community development. In particular, HUD's focused on making linkages between its affordable housing stock that it's revitalizing and the Department of Education, which has a parallel initiative that it's called Promise Neighborhoods.
So you used the word ambitious in there somewhere. This sounds incredibly ambitious to me.
It's very ambitious, but like the HOPE 6 program, the HUD is willing and able to provide very large grants to get the process started. And it's hopeful that with the promise of these large grants that state and local governments will come forward with resources of their own and be able to use all those other resources to leverage up resources from other agencies.
So you like this program?
One of the things that we as affordable housing developers can like about the Choice Neighborhoods program is that it gives the affordable housing nonprofit developers an opportunity to actually manage the process. Under the HOPE 6 program, the process was dominated and managed by public housing agencies, but it gives a chance for the sophisticated nonprofits who are part of the Housing Partnership Network and the stewards of affordable housing for the future a chance to show the sophistication that they have achieved in the management of affordable housing and community development processes.
Well, that does sound like a big difference. Tell us about the Catalytic Investment Fund, another program that HUD is proposing.
Yeah, now when HUD was rolling out the Catalytic Investment Fund, for which they've put about $150 million in their budget, they described it also as an extension of the HOPE 6 program, in that they are proposing to put relatively large grants, between $5 and $30 million, into non-residential economic development activities. So they are focused, again, on place-based interventions, but supporting commercial or public facility investments that help revitalize neighborhoods. I see this as really kind of the most recent iteration of a long history of HUD place-based initiatives, beginning with model cities back in the 1960s and going through such programs as the Urban Development Action Grant Program and the Enterprise and Empowerment Zones initiatives. But what is apparent from HUD's rollout is that they are hoping to use these big grants in conjunction with other place-based initiatives, including maybe Choice Neighborhoods or including maybe the Promise Neighborhoods, to really get federal dollars going into specific communities where they can have a really transformative impact.
There's a rental assistance transformation program in the budget as well that appears to impact how HUD's going to be working with developments that have Section 8 contracts. What kind of changes might we be looking at with rental assistance programs?
Well, the budget includes about $350 million for this new rental assistance transformation program that HUD has been working on behind the scenes now for many months. And I think this is arguably the most important initiative for affordable housing developments in the budget, and we, of course, are going to watch it very carefully. The initial focus of that $350 million, though, is on small public housing agencies, and with the goal of converting the small public housing properties from their current funding mechanism, which are public housing operating subsidies and public housing capital grants. And the budget would convert these to a project-based voucher, which looks very similar to the project-based Section 8 programs that we are all used to. And with this new money, with this new approach, HUD has provided the money because they think it's going to cost them a little bit more to subsidize these units, but it will allow the Public Housing Authority more flexibility and bring them more into a market environment, and HUD hopes will allow the public housing agencies to raise private money to provide for some of the capital needs that have been underfunded for so long in the public housing inventory. For the nonprofit affordable housing development community, though, it will be important to read HUD's legislative proposals closely when they're released later this spring, because HUD is talking about trying to use this rental transformation initiative to take some 13 different project-based rental assistance programs that it manages and get them into one single program. HUD officials are saying that they want to combine the best features of project-based vouchers and project-based rental assistance in creating this single program, but there are some very important differences from those of us who manage project-based assistance between the project-based voucher and the project-based rental assistance program. And so we need to watch very closely to make sure that the best features of those two programs are made available to the people in our networks who rely so much on these rental assistance programs.
Yeah, that sounds very promising. Now, we all know that the demand for senior housing is going nowhere but up, but HUD appears to be cutting the one program that serves seniors, the Section 202 program. So what's going on there, and is there any sort of silver lining that you can tell us about?
Well, when a program gets set up for very large cuts in the budget, it's hard to find the silver lining. And so the cuts themselves are very concerning. HUD, perhaps in the nature of a silver lining, HUD is describing the cuts as a hiatus in funding while they work to reform the program and make reforms to the program.
Until we all become seniors, right?
Exactly. Of course, we're very concerned about that, because once money is taken out of the budget in this tight environment, it would be very, very hard to restore it in the future. And it's not clear from looking at HUD's long-term budget plans that they really, truly plan to restore this program back to its current levels. HUD secretary, in rolling out the cuts, suggested that that developers of this kind of housing could go to the low-income housing tax credit program or the new National Affordable Housing Trust Fund as sources for the capital for senior housing developments. But as we talked about earlier in this conversation, the tax credit program is way down, and so it's not clear that the investment dollars will be there. And the National Affordable Housing Trust Fund has not yet been funded, with prospects uncertain. At the same time, and the other important thing about 202 that's missing from that alternative approach that HUD suggested, is it's not clear where developers will go to get the rental assistance they would need to serve very, very low-income elderly households. Maybe along the lines of the way you were looking for silver linings is that while we're waiting for more details, the reforms that are proposed in the budget generally seem like some that the industry could work with. For example, HUD is talking about changes that would allow larger projects funded out of the 202 program and changes that would increase the ability of project sponsors to leverage other private funds. Both of which are things that our industry would very much like to work with the department to achieve. But at the end of the day, you got to start with the funding, and it'll be important for all of us to weigh in with Congress to make sure that the cuts don't go through.
Okay. One final question for you, Paul. In the federal stimulus package that was passed early in 2009, HUD received significant funding to facilitate green building improvements at its properties. Are you aware of any plans to allocate additional funds to help the projects that HUD couldn't serve since the demand was so great?
I am aware of efforts on Capitol Hill to expand a new round of funding for the HUD program in some of the jobs bills that have been considered on the Hill. But their prospects are very uncertain in the wake of some of the electoral happenings in Massachusetts and an increased concern about the budget deficit. One of the arguments for adding more funds to the HUD program is that there's a waiting list of projects ready to go that applied for the first round but did not get funding. And so there's a good argument to be made that additional funding to the HUD program would be stimulative and provide the jobs that Congress is looking to create as they go to their next wave of legislation. I think I have to say, though, Joanne, in response to your question, that another disappointment for me in the 2011 budget for next year was that HUD did not ask for new additional funds for any of its green initiatives that were funded so far in this administration. And it's a disappointment in part because these investments are not only good for the planet, but they're also important for reducing the almost $4 billion that HUD spends annually on utility costs for across its entire assisted housing inventory. So we're watching very closely kind of developments on the Hill. In addition to getting more money for the HUD program, there's an awful lot of interest in and a set of initiatives that many have coined cash for caulkers, where they would put more money into the Department of Energy for weatherization funds, and in particular focus some of those funds on multifamily housing and the assisted housing inventory. So there, for affordable housing developers, there are promises of potentially new resources to green the stock, but an awful lot of challenges in getting our people who generally work with HUD to figure out how to work with the Department of Energy programs.
If our listeners are interested in finding out more about specific budget provisions, can you point them in the right direction? Is there a URL you can provide?
Well, absolutely. I would think that there are two places they can go to get into great depth on these different budgetary issues. The Office of Management and Budget manages a website called www.budget.gov, where you can find the president's budget, both the summaries of it as well as very detailed appendices and analytical documents that explain just what's going on in these programs. In addition, you can find more descriptive materials about the president's budget for housing at www.hud.gov, where you can find things that are much more accessible and explain some of the programs and the kinds of detail that our community would like to have. So finally, Joanne, at the risk of getting overwhelmed with questions, I should also say that people in the network should be more than willing to reach out to me with questions and concerns. My email address is weech, W-E-E-C-H, at housingpartnership.net. Hopefully we'll hear from folks who are interested in pursuing some of these issues more fully.
You are a brave man, Paul.
Thank you.
Paul Weech, Policy Director of the Housing Partnership Network and Stewards of Affordable Housing. That was terrific information. Thanks so much for your insights today.
Joanne, it was great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Great. And I'm Joanne Green for Eden Housing's Affordable Housing Podcast. For more information, go to www.edenhousing.org.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.